This program, brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com, is suitable for mature audiences only and may contain explicit sexual information.
My name is Marcy Prochowski, and welcome to A Taste of Sex Erotic Poetry Readings. One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco is a place of freedom. It's where people come together to explore their desires on a physical level, on an emotional level, on just a raw, raw, raw sensation level. We don't just write it. We live it. And we're here on A Taste of Sex Erotic Poetry Readings to tell you all about it. So stay tuned in, because we're going to turn you on. They've got my tongue in bondage, and I can't really talk. My hands are tied behind my back. A loofah is between my legs.
My name is Marcy Prochowski, and I'm the host of A Taste of Sex. And yay! Woohoo! So we have a hot night in store tonight. So this is a collaboration with Brainwash, One Taste, and Personal Life Media. So now we've got Abby reading a poem called Forced to Wait. Word to describe it, she says, oh, sweetness.
I wrote this about a month and a half ago. Our eyes, too close to each other's to see. Sunlight finds its way through your thick hair. My fingers search the concavities of your torso and the softest parts of your skin. Tongue finds mine. Energy rushes in, waves rolling, rising, barely perceivable when this flow begins and when it ends. Deep, I feel you so deeply. Your hardness pushing, hungry, consuming. Liquids find every opportunity to excrete from our mouths, our pores, my welcoming pussy. Your dark, blazing eyes see me now. I'm aching for this, hour by hour by hour. Fuck me, smack me, I said harder. Oh, such sweetness, it's torture to stop. Until next time, I'm forced to wait.
The question is how we can get our desires filled right now with Marissa, with a piece called Dear Pussy City Cairo. Come on, baby.
Dear Pussy City of Cairo, my pussy, so cozy, familiar, wet. My friend, my lover, my partner in crime. Where do you hide in the wee of the night? Ah, charging your batteries, coming to light. Leading the way, full of courage and might, knowing me, breaking me, opening me, like a kite gliding through loneliness and realms of unknown, taking me further into the path, righteous, full-blown. Lead me, take me, carry me home to the depths of sensation, ruins of my soul.
So one of this, the subtitle of this event is Letters to Our Pussy. So there you go. All right, now we got Beth with a piece called Good Night, Good Girl. And this is about interrupting patterns.
Fuck this good girl shit. I'm bored with it. I'm bored with the tears and stories and judgments. How do you know the good girl when you see her? She's polite, sweet. She has excellent posture. She's well behaved. She's quiet until spoken to. She'll take care of you and never need anything. Your mom loves her. And behind all that, I want. want to be devoured, want to feast and thrash and lose control. I want to get dirty. I want the lid taken off. Please, someone help me get some air in here. I clamp down on my pussy and the lights go out. I say no to my desire and I'm aching and trapped. But not today. During a lunchtime business meeting, I request a quick fuck. This is not like me, the good girl says. Don't get the wrong idea. I'm not like those women. Request granted. His cock plunged into me from on top, then on the side. I squeezed him closer with my legs. Thoughts of my dad flooded in, and I allowed myself the fantasy. How good would that feel to get filled up by your creator? Oh, I get the metaphor. Please fill me. Please take the edges off the gnawing hunger. Please help me flow from place to place instead of stuck like glue to what seems like a sure fucking thing. All this going through me as he comes in and out of me. He speeds up and the thoughts disappear. There's just cock and pussy, tangled hair in my tight fingers, my jaw tight with wanting more, grinding. Then it's over, but I'm not done. The good girl would say, "Thank you, sir, you're perfect. You filled me completely. I wouldn't want to offend your fragile male ego, so we'll just stop now, and that's fine. I've had enough. I want to preserve the idea that just you are enough for me, so I'll quit." Since I'm giving the good girl the day off, I take off in search of a subsequent fuck. He yells after me, "But I thought I was special." I find number two. We haven't fucked before. He's not as surprised as I expected him to be. We get warmed up. I jump on top of him. God damn it, there's the South and my dad again. His belt buckle is large and engraved. All right, game on. I'll be your girl. I'll be your toy. Play with me and I'll shine. Just don't leave me. Don't find someone else better. Don't forget about me. I come back to the present. I stroke his cock, smooth and silky, as he's straddling me. I'm anxious. I want so much more. Plunge into me, pierce me, get me past this goddamn mask. His research partner and her curious kitty self come to play with us. There's so much more than enough to go around. Her lips are sucking my breast. My hand is underneath her shirt, grabbing flesh. Skin all around me, surrounding me, swallowing me. He continues in and out, and I'm pulling on him like I'm wearing spurs. Yet another woman joins us. How delicious. It feels like seven more people could fit on the bed and we just feast together. Breasts, cock, skin, hair, waves, air on my skin. I'm moaning and gratified, and what the fuck problem did I ever have, and why don't I do this more often, and ugh. The room disappears into white light behind my eyes. We're stroking each other softly, coming down. Moments of carnal grace.
Okay, this is Chris with a piece called Welcome Home. I think he got some action today.
I'm sitting on my bed up in the loft, playing with myself. Well, playing with my computers, actually, which is practically the same thing. An hour or so before, I had been on a five-hour flight back from the East Coast to San Francisco, so I'm kind of tired and I'm unwinding. "Chris, are you still up there?" she yells out. "Yes," I holler back inquisitively. What could she want, I wonder? A moment ago, I could hear her writhing around on the bed downstairs with B, having a nice fuck by the sound of it. Was I a little jealous? Okay, yes, I was. Yet another moment where I'm left to watch as others around me bathe in sensual bliss while I pass by, am passed by. I sigh. I wait to hear what she wants. I check my pocket to see if I have enough cash for the post-coital burrito I'm probably going to be asked to go fetch. Will you have sex with me? She cries up. Her voice is plaintive, yet insistent. Now, men out there, I don't know what your experience might be, but speaking from a strictly personal standpoint, this is not a request I get very often. In fact, looking back at my past relationships, girlfriends, fiancés, and especially my, quote, friends, I recall hearing these words exactly, zero times. So it takes a moment, but the fact that, yes, I did just hear her correctly sinks in, and I reply, yes. And while I can't be certain, I suspect it probably came out sounding a little more like, yes. But no matter, before I know it, she's standing in front of me completely naked, laughing. What, I ask? I've never done this before. Done what? Had sex with one man right after another. There's an awkward pause. Come hither, I say, trying to play it off cool, like, you know, this happens all the time. And here, thank God, my mind finally starts to take a break. For now, she's helping me peel off my clothes as quickly as possible, and we're kissing, and I'm sucking her nipples and biting her neck. She pushes me back on the bed and straddles me, grinding her bare pussy into the crotch of my jeans. Must get jeans off. We flip over, and I'm on top of her. My clothes are finally gone, and I'm kissing her more, nuzzling her neck, licking her skin. I'm not a foreplay girl, she says. Oh, I'm uncertain for a moment. So you just want to fuck? She nods. Okay, I can work with that. In fact, this is really the moment I've been waiting for. To just be plugged into this part of myself, this animal nature that is hot and turned on and has a woman in front of him who wants nothing more than to feel his hard, hot cock moving inside of her. Fuck all that foreplay and nice soft strokes and sweet tender nothings. It's time to fuck, and so I drop down into the back of my brain, into the sensation of raw lust, and let the animal out of that cage that I've been keeping him in for so goddamn long. And now I'm inside of her, sliding in and out. A goddamn animal, a gorilla, a fucking monster. Fuck, this feels good. Our lust moves out into the room in waves, attracting the attention of others. Suddenly V is on my left. Can I watch? She asks mischievously. And now she's kissing her, sucking her nipple while I keep stroking and pounding. Then M is on my right. She tears her own shirt off and lays on the other side. And now they're kissing, sucking each other's tits. And I ride these waves of sensation up and down. One moment fast, fucking, driving in and out. The next moment slow, holding, and then fast again, fucking a pile driver, kissing V on my left, kissing M on my right, grabbing thighs, clawing at skin, no control. Feeling their bodies, the sensation between the four of us building and rising, and finally, much too soon, it's as much as my body can handle. I go over. No. I fly over, I careen over, an explosion of heat and light and energy moving from every corner of my body into the center of my being, down the shaft of my cock and into her. Gradually we come down, the four of us, and in my left ear, ever the mischievous one, V whispers, "Welcome home."
Thank you.
This show is a production of One Taste Urban Retreat Center and Personal Life Media.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
So now we have Cheryl with two poems. One is called New York in July, and it's about the best first date she ever had. And the second is called In My Mind.
So this is a story about first date glory. Summer 2005, and this young man taught me that there ain't nothing like New York in July. Drive up to the countryside to take a break from the city life. I hardly know him, but I trust him like my brother. And I think I want him like he's my man. We walk across the sand, no words, as the air makes love to our skin. And as a powdery, unspeakable magic creates a misty air, my skirt and hair fly like a flag at full mast, and the lake, blackened by night, pulls us to shore. Our toes drink the silky water. We finally break our eyes away from the amusement park that lies before us and look at each other with bashful red-cheeked smiles our faces can't contain, and simultaneously remove our clothes as if they shouldn't have been there to begin with because we were just wearing them to be polite. And we hold hands, but not really like future lovers, but like children crossing the street together for the first time, only it's not a street made with cement, it's a street made with fruit punch and maple syrup, lined not with trees, but with candy canes and lollipops. We awkwardly make our first steps into the lake, and as we put one foot in front of the other, the water pushes back on our feet, and we climb in. And as the lake floor lowers and the water's roof rises, we slowly, one finger at a time, release our grip, and we each go our separate ways in our own private little amusement parks. And swimming in my birthday suit with nothing in sight but starlight and the living room lights of the houses that line the lake, and mommies in windows putting babies to bed after a long day of rowboating and tubing and learning to swim, and the barbecue still smoking, and baby falls asleep with dry ketchup in the corners of his mouth because mommy's too tired to chip it off, or maybe he just looks too cute with it on. And there I am, swimming in my fruit punch and maple syrup, and he grabs my wrist from behind my back, and after a quick play battle of tug of war, we swim together like twins in the womb, and it's our birthday. It's like our first day on Earth, and we can't believe our eyes. And he pulls me in and wraps my legs around his waist and lay my body back on the lake surface, and my chest rises as my body floats, and water beads off my skin like coconut oil on silk. And he spins around as if he's the strong, solid center of the merry-go-round. And I look up, and all I can see is God's royal flush of star formations. And it's like I'm right smack in the center of the Milky Way, watching the Earth rotate and water beads in and out of my ears, tickling my eardrums like a light, jazzy drum brush doing figure eights on the snare. And I feel as if I don't have a face or a mind or a body or a brain. It's like I'm invisible. As lake, as sand melts into body, body into lake, lake into horizon, horizon into sky, and sky just melts. Because this is a story about first date glory, summer 2005, and this young man taught me that there ain't nothing like New York in July. So this one I wrote very recently. It's kind of a test piece, work in progress. There are many areas of my life that I feel are extremely underdeveloped, particularly the way that I think and the things that I think about. When I'm with people, I cannot stop thinking about what they look like naked. And I'm sure that I'm not alone in this. I wonder when the last time they had sex was. I wonder if their genitals are currently sore, sticking, and bothered from overstimulation, and that's why they're being so nice to me, because they think that I won't notice. When someone introduces me to their boyfriend, I don't hear their name. All I hear is, this is the person I'm having sex with. And it's the worst when I go on a date with a guy, because all I can think about are his testicles. I mean, surely God could have thought of something else to do with those things. I'm going to refer to them as testicles because I believe it's more of a pleasant term than balls. I mean, they're not even shaped like balls, they're shaped like eggs. But it would be way too effeminate for a guy to refer to his own reproductive organs as eggs, so they refer to them as somewhat analogous to something far more manly like soccer balls, baseballs, or basketballs. So I have this crazy obsession with testicles. It's like, what in the world are they doing there? I mean, I don't walk around with my colon or a piece of my intestine hanging out. So I've learned that they hang outside the body and sometimes move up a bit towards the body to regulate their temperature, but surely God could have thought of another way. Like maybe making them small and placing them on top of the penis close to the body like a little penis crown. Or at least put them on a monthly cycle so that they drop when it's that time of the month. I mean, surely over time we can strive to refine the testicle. Just like we've gone from record to 8-track to tape to CD to iPod, we could refine the testicle. Ladies and gentlemen, the Surgeon General and God have been hard at work for a century collaborating to bring you the new testicle, the sexy testicle. You can even download your favorite mood music onto it. Because they just seem so primitive, don't they? Yet they're equally fascinating and mesmerizing. One time I was in the hot tub with my boyfriend at the time, and he stood up to grab his glass of wine, and I couldn't help but to gently grab him by his thighs and nestle my face in his saggy ball sack. I swiped them back and forth across the landscape of my face. It was comforting, nurturing, exfoliating. It was like cuddling with a baby pig. And then sometimes I wonder, what if he sits on one by mistake, or maybe they're designed not to be sat on? I wonder if one is sticking to his leg right now. And when a guy adjusts, once in a blue moon adjusts, I kind of understand. I mean, he's got like an overgrown fetus in his pants. And this is the kind of stuff that I'm thinking about when men are talking to me. And then I'm thinking, why is this guy talking to me about my job? I know he wants to know what my nipples look like. And I think this is the kind of stuff that keeps me separate from people, disconnected, because of all the nonsense that goes on in my mind. Embedded in the background of my brain is this younger conversation that's driving my communication car. It's familiar, it's comfortable, it's young, and I think that that's why I feel alone when I'm with people. When I get scared or uncomfortable, I start listening to more to what my brain has to say about your testicles rather than what you have to say about your life.
All right, now we've got Vicky. Hold on tight, fasten your seatbelts, because we got Vicky in the house, and this is called She Eats, and this is part two.
Resistance. Not turned on by you, some other night, I'm tired. Rejection. Navigation. Let's go in it and see what's in there. In her bed, I don't want to see her, to look at her, to see myself in her, to see my desire in her eyes. Childhood stories of experiences with other girls. Contact, connection, we found the spot. Our eyes glow in awe and wonder at our stories. It might actually happen. Let's make out, she says, and we giggle like fourth grade girls playing with Barbie and Ken and arranging them in different positions. We come together slowly, lips lingering over lips, contact, soft, silky, her warm breath on my lips, taste and smell of minty freshness and ripe strawberries, nibbling, sucking, ah, tongue flickering on tongue, slowly, shyly coming out, teasing and tugging, then biting. Her body hot and supple, smooth with perfection in its lightly pimpled patches of skin. Heart pounding faster, her breast across my breast. My hands tracing her neck, her shoulders down to her breasts, cupping full in my hands, and I pinch her pink pearl. She moans and groans. She rolls me over to my back, hot tongue on me, moist and slick, sucking. Oh my God, I am making out with a woman! Coarse straw-like hair in my hands, pulling her head closer to my nipples, pulling and tugging, legs rubbing on each other, thighs rubbing, pelvis grinding. I swim in sandy, sun-kissed almond smells of her hair and creamy flesh. The heat rises up, our breaths coming in and out, labored and hard. We eating at each other, hungry for touch and kisses and tongue and lips and nipples from another woman. Firm ass, curves, thighs, smooth stomach, we are wrapped in a warm, thick bubble of pleasure and connection and heat. Bodies, orgasmic, pussies getting wet and wetter. Our bodies are locked in a dance of hunger and pleasure. I want to go down on you, she says. Oh my God. I screamed out and we both laughed. I almost go over just from those words. Yes. She is awake and she is hungry and she has not tasted and been tasted by a woman for a long time. She makes her way down, hot tongue kissing and licking a trail of fire. My pussy waits eagerly, waiting hungrily. Oh, yes, contact. Her tongue flicker on my clit and my mind almost blows out, tongue pressing harder and I'm breathing hard, running a marathon. And my pussy eating and being eaten and she's drinking and being drunk and begging and being fulfilled. We climb up higher and higher, electricity running all over my body hot, fingers running in her hair, nipples hard, waves running over my head, and she eats and I eat and she eats and I eat and drink and digest. She is hungry, with tongue on her, dancing with her, playing with her, and now she wants more. Now she wants penetration. And she is aching and longing and calling for more and begging for more. Her finger hears the cry and comes in slowly into wet, hot, moist cave. Oh my God, in and out and long lingering strides, and I am dying and awaking and dying and awaking. Light starts to burn deep in my core and igniting and glowing bigger as her tongue flicker and sucks on my clit and her finger gliding in and out of her. Electricity running, and she's clamping and opening, contracting and pulling in her finger and wanting to suck her finger deep in me and deep and deeper and sucking her in and pinch. And a pinch in my core, and the light is glowing, and my body hot and breathing hard. And light explodes and washes over my body like a flood, and my body clenches and tightens. Breathing stops, heart pounding, stomach undulating, pussy contracting with her finger deep inside me and her tongue on me. A line of orgasm connects us. Our bodies merge into one, dancing in the warm, thick bubble of orgasm and pleasure. Now my pussy wants to eat some more. I trail a trail of hot kisses on smooth skin, down on her, smell of raw flesh, raw, moist flesh, tongue tasting sweet and salty juice, thick and creamy. Tongue on her clit, sucking, and she is riding, and we are riding, our bodies dancing in the orgasm, and my stomach undulating, wrapped around smooth flesh, held, captivated by her taste, my finger exploring a cave of hot, wet silk, pillowy flesh and bumps and slick, running in and out of her, juice dripping, smell of wet flesh, and taste of raw skin and peach and pussy. And we climb, connected by a white string of orgasm, wrapped in a thick bubble, and I'm in and out and riding faster and higher, and she bursts, and my body arches and bursts with her. I feel her heart beat, in my heart, her breathing in my breath, her skin inside me, her desire in me. We have merged two bodies, one orgasm, desire, and lust and pleasure, the other side of resistance. We tasted, we teased, we ate, we drank, we swallowed. We are nourished, hunger satisfied for now.
So you've had a full experience, huh? Now you believe we don't just write it, we live it. I want to thank you for tuning in. This radio show has been brought to you by One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco and Personal Life Media. To contact us, please send us an email at onetaste@personallifemedia.com. You can also find out more information by going to personallifemedia.com or check us out at onetastesf.com. Thanks so much. Thanks for staying tuned in. And thanks, most of all, for staying turned on.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.